Walk down the aisle, say I do. Cut the cake, toss the bouquet. Marriage, it's the way to happiness, or is it? There's good evidence in the Bible that marriage is designed more to develop character than to ensure a lifetime of bliss. When the rough spots come, and they will, what are couples to take from those experiences? Today, a frank dose of married reality. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He comes now with message number 3. The goal is holiness, not happiness.
Well, from time to time, I share either letters or comments with you. And by the way, last week's message I did receive emails and comments that are very encouraging of couples who are in great need, who are finding hope. But how do you like this? I feel like a thing. Is my conversation so unintelligible that I'm not worth talking to? I could be a post in the ground for all he bothers to communicate with me. I feel as if I don't know my husband. He's been hiding from me for years. Some time ago, a woman told me, she says, my husband is as oppressive as a guard at Auschwitz. This past week, I spent 3.5 hours with a friend of mine whose wife left him. I spent time encouraging him, praying with him, and what happened in his side of the story is simply this, that even though he tried to be her servant, he was not able to create for her the perfect world that she really wanted. Furthermore, that because of some abuse that she had endured in previous relationships, she not only didn't want to be involved in any conflict, but avoided it emotionally and then physically. She decided to leave. You see, in a marriage like that, any risk of getting onto something that is touchy or controversial is impossible, because you can't take that risk if someone does not want to work through conflict. And today I want to explode the most common myth that there is about marriage. And the most common myth is simply this, that good marriages don't have conflict. If I had married the right one, why, indeed, we wouldn't be having fights and arguments. We'd be getting along just perfectly. So because I married the wrong one, where is the escape hatch? I'm here to tell you that almost all marriages have conflict. The difference between fulfilling marriages and unfulfilling ones are how they relate to conflict and how they work out their differences. You can be here today and you can hate your mate, and if you listen carefully, God will teach you how to love, and you too can have a fulfilling marriage if you meet certain requirements that we'll get into in just a moment. But you see, we expect too much from marriage. We have our sights far too high. There are people who expect marriage to do what only God is able to do. And so here's a scenario. Here's a woman who marries a klutz. It's a good word. I checked it in the dictionary. He's self-absorbed. He can't feel anything for anybody else, but he feels his own hurt very deeply. But he is a Christian, at least he attends church and has a good job, so she marries him. She marries an unhappy, self-centered man, and she expects this self-centered man, of all things, to make her happy. How can an unhappy man make you happy? He's failing at it, isn't he? Then you have a man who marries a flighty woman. She's the life of the party. Everybody likes her. She is oftentimes the object of attention, and furthermore, she's pretty, and because he can see a lot better than he can think, he decides that he's going to marry her. But he hadn't counted on something. Because her father left her when she was a teenager, she had a lot of unacknowledged anger that she had never dealt with. And he gets married, and now he discovers that she has two Pullman freight cars full of baggage. And he doesn't know how to handle it. And pretty soon, the very things that drove him to her, attracted him to her, are the very things now that he just can't stand. She spends too much. She's not focused. She's everything that he doesn't want. She, quote, isn't the woman he married. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Well, I'm here today to give you hope. No matter how disappointed you have been in your marriage, no matter how many disappointments and how unsatisfying and mismatched you are, there is hope. When a Britisher was told that there are many divorces in America because of incompatibility, I'm told that he was shocked. He said, "I thought that incompatibility was the purpose of marriage." I mean, why would anyone want to get married if you were not interested in incompatibility? That's the whole point of marriage, is incompatibility. And God is going to use marriage to work through those incompatibilities to do his work. You stay tuned. But in order for this to happen, I think that there are at least five assumptions that I need to make and route to a fulfilled marriage. Five assumptions, and listen to these very carefully. First of all, it does take two of you. It does take two of you. You can't work on a marriage too well alone. You can respond in a godly way, but you can't really work on a marriage alone. Some of you say, well, you know, that ends it there right now. He's not interested in counseling. She can't change. So, you know, we're out of here. We're checking out of this sermon right now. My dear friend, you understand why that attitude exists, don't you? The man marries a woman who is judgmental. She's judging everything. She's a perfectionist. He can never please her. And so he just shuts down. He just shuts down because of her judgmentalism. There was a man who was on a plane, a Christian man sitting next to a non-Christian, and the Christian wanted to witness to him and said, are you ready for Judgment Day? And the man said, what is it? When is it? And he said, well, it could be very soon, or it could be much later. And the guy said, well, when you find out those dates, you let me know, because I'm sure that my wife wants to attend both times. He's not going to open up. If he confesses to you a struggle with pornography and you freak out over it, he's not going to open up. He's going to clam up and become what one woman said about her husband, the great stone face. There are some marriages in which there is so much contempt and so much hostility that when he says blue, she says green. When he says red, she says brown. You can predict it. My dear friend, you are never going to have a fulfilled marriage, the both of you, unless both of you decide right now we are no longer going to be adversaries. We are going to become allies. We're going to be on the same page, and we're going to start to work this out. It does take two of you. Second assumption is that you have to go through pain to get there. You have to go through pain to get there. There may be some exceptions, but almost always you have to go through pain. You know what marriage is? Marriage is looking into a full-length mirror that shows you your sin. That's what marriage does. It takes two sinful, selfish people, puts them together in intimacy, and says, get along. And it's not easy. Because of my Canadian background, I love to drink tea. As a matter of fact, I didn't have coffee this morning. I had a cup of tea at home and also a cup of tea here at the church. There's a woman here, by the way, who loves to bring me boxes of tea. That's her ministry, and I thank God for that, because I've always got lots of tea. Well, you know, when I looked at those tea bags this morning, you know, little white fluffy bags with a little string, you really don't know exactly what's in them until you put them in hot water. And when you put them in hot water, you discover the kind of tea that it is, and you've got all this brown stuff swirling around, and there's nothing, by the way, now in the water that wasn't in the tea bag at the beginning, is there? Now, here's the thing. That little tea bag, that sweet little package, that represents the single life. And nobody really knows what's inside because you've never had an opportunity to demonstrate what is inside. The moment you say, I do, you're in hot water, all right? You're in hot water. And suddenly, everything begins to come out. She makes me so mad, the man says. Now, wait a moment, where's all that anger coming from? There's nothing that she can draw out of you that isn't already there. You know, the dirty water? That was in that sweet little tea bag that you fooled her with before you were married. But it's all there. You can't get there from here to there without facing yourself and facing pain. Which leads to a third assumption. We need to have a different perspective on marriage. Some of our staff this week introduced me to the book Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, an excellent book, by the way. But Gary Thomas says in his book that the real purpose of marriage isn't happiness. You thought that you were going to be happy? Well, you know, the real purpose from God's standpoint isn't happiness, it is holiness. And then he quotes someone as saying this, marriage is the merciless revealer, the great white searchlight turned on in the darkest places of human nature. And it is there in the searchlight that our sin is revealed so that God can work on it. And he's got a lot to work on, doesn't he? So easy for us to see other people's sin. It's somebody else's sin. I heard a priest saying, you know, in the Catholic tradition, they have confession. And the priest said, you know, a woman came to me and she started to just say all the things about what her husband did to her and so forth. And he stopped her and says, whose sins are you here to confess? So what God is going to do is to work on us. And my dear friend today, I hope that you let him. This is Pastor Luther. Indeed, it is true that God loves to work on us. The problem is our resistance. Now, perhaps I'm talking to a wife and you say, my husband is resisting. Can you trust God for him? Don't you try to change him, because I promise you it probably will not work. Who can change your wife, dear husband? God can. What I like to emphasize is that we have responsibility for our own hearts, for our own responses, and we have to trust God for our mates. But God is the one who is able to put things together. And he doesn't do it apart from deep repentance, faith, oftentimes the confession of sin, reconciliation, all those things which are exceedingly painful and exceedingly rewarding. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. My desire is that you continually walk with God, and that we are able to provide resources for you to help you along the journey. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Goal is Holiness, Not Happiness, the third of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Next time, more on the searchlight of marriage and how it reveals our character flaws. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.